Father, we thank you tonight for your precious word. Your word is good, Lord. And we thank you for your people, your children. We thank you for the apostolic family, our apostle. Thank you for our apostolic church, Lord. We trust the Holy Ghost tonight that he's going to help us unfold your divine truth and wisdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. You know, God is so good. Turn your Bible with me to Ephesians. Ephesians 2. You know, if I'm like everybody else, it took me a while to catch a hold of the apostolic. You know, we've been under pastoring for some of us all our lives, and we knew very little about apostles and prophets. We knew the teacher and the pastor and evangelist, but the apostle been training us apostolically to understand what it's all about and how it's not part of God's divine plan. It is God's divine plan for the church. And after understanding it for a while, you wonder how the church get this far without the apostolic government, because there's so much catching up to do, if you understand what I'm saying. So much catching up. And the apostle is doing double time. I mean, he's praying double time. He's studying the word double time. You just don't know how much. You have no idea how much time you spend with the Lord. And you know, I'm going to be using the apostle because to talk about the apostolic, you can't separate the man from the ministry. I don't know how you do that. But this ministry over the years was built on apostleship, whether we knew it or not. And it's the foundational, and I'm trying to find Ephesians 2:19, and we're going to look at that 20 verse. Now, I'm going to go over a lot of scripture that apostles already taught us, just like water in some of them, and I'm teaching from my understanding of what I've learned from him. Are you with me? It's one thing to hear from him, but it's got to go into you and then come out. Sometimes it don't come out just the same way. You know, you hear things one way, but you might receive it another way. And God supernatural has ways of bringing it to your level of understanding. You know, because everybody don't receive things the same way. And it helped me, you know, because I might hear things different from you. And I might understand things different from you. But it all boiled down to the same. We just explained it different. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And so my understanding of the apostolic goes so far beyond what I thought I knew about apostles and prophets and even the whole rest of the fivefold ministry gifts, you know, and because you hear so much teaching, some of it the erroneous, you know, and I've got to the place now, I don't hardly read books unless an apostle then already put his stamp on it, because you got so much stuff out there. You got to be careful what you read, what you listen to. And that's one of the areas that apostles does when it's over a church or churches. It keeps them in alignment, keep them from going off into error, and just keep them in line and in tune with the will of God. God got one way of getting somewhere. You know, people make a lot of detours, but But God knows exactly where you want to go, and that's the way he goes. And sometimes the church do like the children of Israel in the wilderness. You know, I always say the 40-day journey turns to 40 years. And it shouldn't have never took that long, but it took that long for God to get them to understand what he was trying to do. And sometimes in our own personal life, it takes a little longer for us to get where we want, where God wants to go, because sometimes it takes God that long to get us to understand what he's trying to do. Yes. Am I making any sense? Yes. And because our understanding sometimes it's not always quite lined up with the word of God. Because we put our own understanding in scriptures, and we put our own understanding in the way we believe things ought to go. And that caused the children of Israel to error. Because they had their own understanding of the way they've been doing things over the years. And so they thought it was okay just to continue on the same old path. But God don't want to continue the same old path. God always got fresh ways and fresh things for us to do and to understand. I'm trying to get to this scripture, but I'm trying to prelude my understanding of the apostolic. The shortest difference in my dramatic class, the only thing I remember, was the shortest distance between any two points was a straight line. And I found out that a lot of time I didn't stay on the straight line. You didn't either. And because you didn't stay on the straight line, I'm talking about trying to get to point A to point B. And because of these little detours we make sometime in our life, it delays us from being where we ought to be. I know I'm not where I ought to be. I'm raising my hand by myself. I know I had some company with me. But the apostolic, I want to use this word, it pushes us, if you permit me to say that. Our apostolic pastor pushes us to get the way God wants us to go. Because sometimes we need that little extra push, that little extra effort. Because sometimes we don't always want to get there by ourselves. My cousin had an old mule. The old mule name was Cyrene. And Cyrene knew when it was dinner time. 12 o'clock, Cyrene, I don't care what you're doing, where you was in the row, Cyrene just took off and gone to the house to get dinner. Because he was trained that way. Sometimes we train a certain way and we don't want to break those old habits, and that's what the apostolic does. Well, my whole point with Cyrene was she was also a stubborn mule. And being stubborn sometimes, the owner, which was my cousin, he had to force Cyrene to do certain things. He had an old stick. He'd smack her with the stick and make, get him up, Cyrene. Sometimes a pastor got to do that to us. Get him up. I'm trying to say these things to let you know that's what my understanding is. And I'm trying to help us to see that this apostolic government that we're in, it's one of the greatest places I ever been. My eyes see things so clearly now. My understanding is so clear. It's so clear. And just like God had to direct the children of Israel the way he wanted to go, and he always told Moses what direction to go, at the same thing the apostolic does in our lives. Now, you're in Ephesians 2, look at the 19th verse. And these are the verses that Apostle began to share with us when he began to introduce us, the apostolic office and government to us, and show how God was building things. And I think I need to start at the 18th verse. Let's see. For to him, I need to go a little further. Let's start in 19th verse. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So God used the apostles and the prophets to build the foundation of the church. And so with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, everything is built upon what Christ did, but they built upon him. Now, go to Ephesians 3 and 5. You're next door. And I'm going to begin at that first verse because it talks about some other things about apostle and apostleship. But there's a word in here that I need you to understand called dispensation. That word dispensation, jump out at me, and it's called me to begin to understand that God always has a divine timing for everything he does. Yes. You're not behind nowhere in your life. Sometimes people think, I say we got to catch up, but sometimes we think we're in a position that we're too late, too far gone, you know, to catch up. No, you're right in your time. This is your time. This is our time. You know, I was thinking about everything. God never dealt with the past. Never did. God don't deal with the future in our life. God always is present. He's now. You see, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now is the day of salvation. I was studying the Our Father's prayer, the model prayer, and he said, give us this day our daily bread. And then I got to another scripture over in Luke, the same prayer, and I looked at it, I just was looking at it in comparison, and it said, give us day by day our daily bread. So what is that saying? That's saying God don't want us living in yesterday. God always wants to live today. And in Matthew 6:33 or 6:32, take no thought for tomorrow. So you can't live tomorrow. You got to live when? Today. Today is the day of salvation. And here's another thing the Lord remind me of. I'm going to get back to this, but you remind me of this, that the children of Israel. I studied that so much, the children of Israel, because it's so much remind me of the church today. Because Moses was pastoring over 2.5 million people. Matter of fact, his father-in-law had to help him out. Say, man, you're going to kill yourself. You're trying to do all this thing by yourself. Get you some help, man. And so he hearkened unto Moses' instruction. But God told the children of Israel they were crying for food. And God rained manna down from heaven. Y'all remember the story, right? But here's what God told them. God said, gather only what you need today. Don't gather some for tomorrow. And you know, some of them with their wise self decided that they're going to get some for tomorrow. And the Bible says it began to turn to worms. Yes. The manna turned to worms because God never meant them to plan for tomorrow. Yes. It's nothing wrong with planning. Well, today, Jesus said, is sufficient to the evil thereof. But God is always fresh. Yes. God wants you in the now. Yes. God wants you to live to your best today. Yes. He don't want to wait till you get better tomorrow. I don't know if that makes sense. Yes. but live up to your expectations today. Could we put everything off on tomorrow when God wants us to really live when?
Today.
People missed out on a lot of intimate moments waiting to things get better tomorrow.
Yep.
No, things are better today.
Yes.
You see it? Today. Now, where are we now? We're in Ephesians 3 and 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to you, Lord, how that by revelation, how that by what?
Revelation.
And this is what Apostle is trying to get us to function. Everybody should be able to receive revelation from God. You know, sometimes we come and, you know, and we won't get all the revelation from Apostle, but we're supposed to get revelation from what he said. I found out, I'm going to get back here, but I found out that, and my wife and I were talking about it, that when the apostle put out revelation from this pulpit, we stop right there and we don't study it out. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. We don't take it and study it through. We just take another good message and say, oh, that was a good word today. But we don't study it through. We don't take it. See, he can take it all away for us. He can give us the outline. But we got to fill in all the blanks in the empty space. We got to make it these messages personal to us. And so I began to do exactly what he intended for us to do. I began to take those subject by subject and study them through. Started my own extensive study from what he said.
Yes.
I read through. I found scriptures and taking it from the whole context. See, he read the whole context. When he preached to us, he can't read the whole chapter to us. My God, he would be here until Jesus come back. So he got to take scriptures that highlights what revelation he's trying to bring to us, but we never take the whole context into consideration. And then we go to quoting scriptures, have no early idea what the fullness of that scripture is talking about. So I made it my own mind that I'm going to start studying all these things through. And I began to see things and understand things better about what the Spirit of God is saying to Apostle. John said something. Brother John said something. He said, Apostle is so far ahead of us. You know what I said? And I said, God, dog, are you true? He right. He got that right. I said, Apostle is so far ahead of us that sometimes, you know, he hope we try to catch up some kind of way. I mean... I wish I could explain this a little bit better, but he's just so far in the spirit, and I watch him sometimes. I think he take home sometimes just as much. He don't never get to preach everything out. You know why? Because sometimes you got to keep going back to make sure we're getting it. And I hate to say it, but sometimes you got to go back into the elementary of it. And because he fall from the elementary, but he got to go to the elementary for us to catch it.
Yeah.
And by him going back and forth, he don't get too far. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I said one day he's going to be able to preach his message all the way through because we're going to be more matured to enough that when it come out of his mouth, I got it.
Yeah.
I got it. But you can sense when somebody don't got it.
Yeah.
And he senses it when you don't have it. And he wants to get it, so he's going to go over it again.
Yes.
And again.
Yes.
And again.
Yes.
And again. And you know why? Because we're not taking it from where he stopped and trying to take it to the next level in our life. We stop where he stopped at. See, he ain't going on, but we stop and think that's it. Am I making sense what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm saying we got to go further.
Yes.
We got to take the revelations further than we taking it. We just taking it all in, and we just stomping right there. Praise God. Go. Don't look at nothing until we come back again. Am I fussing? Yes. Because Apostle wants us to get this thing. We're talking about maturity. Well, maturity is taking it to the next. It takes to the next page. Go to the next page with it. I started to do that. I heard Brother Leroy say, when he shared those revelations, this is what you're going to get on Sunday morning. I enjoyed those excerpts from him because he preludes. And almost every time, he's so accurate with it. He said, well, what I start doing on Saturday nights, I start reading a lot now that, man, I got to, this thing is important here. And I catch a hold of things. I listen good. And so there's more we can do. What am I saying? There's more we can do.
Yes.
In our personal life. To take this thing a little bit further. Yeah. I heard him say, he said, you need to read every day. He just said that. He said, you need to study every day for yourself. Yeah. I go through the gospel regularly. I read through it. Like Dr. Montrell said, all them red, everything's in red. I want to see what Jesus is doing. You know, and I'm telling you what I'm beginning to do. Why? Because the apostolic began to open my eyes. And I see I should have been further than I am. But it wasn't God's fault. Wasn't apostle's fault. He been putting it out. I just ain't been putting it in. Like I should. Yeah, I pray. We all pray. Yeah, we read. Things pertaining to us that what we need, but just to get the understanding of the apostolic, we need to take it further. Now, where am I? What verse is that? How that by revelation he made known to us the mystery. Now, let me stop here at mystery. A mystery, see, some people take mystery wrong. They talk about how the Lord is mysterious. He works in mysterious ways. Well, if he works in mysterious ways, then we'll never know how he works. If we take that mind frame of it. But this mystery, Apostle Paul, is talking about revealed mysteries. There are mysteries that are revealed. If it's revealed, then there's no more mystery. So, every divine revelation is a mystery until it's revealed. Now, he's fixing to show you the revelation of the Gentiles coming into the body of Christ. Now, it was a mystery because the church knew at that time, matter of fact, Paul fought against the religious folk about bringing the Gentiles into the kingdom because they thought just for the Jews. But now he's coming with this seemingly new doctrine. And where these Gentiles going to be mingled and mixed with us. And they're going to get the same thing we got. And we're God's chosen people. Now the Gentiles coming in. Well, Paul had to preach that revelation against the grain, against all unbelief. And then I begin to liken our apostle unto that. God gave him a revealed mystery about money coming.
Yes.
And now he began to preach against all the religion, how they fought and fight and scrapping against it. They don't understand the revelation because it's a mystery to them. But it being revealed to us.
Yes.
Now we got to study behind that. We got to get this revelation deeper down deeper into our inner being, our inner man. You're not going to fully understand it, mysteries, until you get the revelation of the mystery, then it won't be no any more mystery. Money coming will not be a mystery to you. You won't have any question whether I'm supposed to be rich. You won't have that. You won't get that little feeling when you start talking about money. He can feel it. You know, he feel it. Because we think money is evil or something. And so it's the revelation. The church hasn't, at large, haven't really gotten an understanding of it yet. Because we've been taught over the years that money was evil. Now, we all know money is not evil. Money is the tool for God. Money supports the kingdom of God. Look at all those people got born again from Bishop Dan ministry. It takes money. And the apostles said, we in on it because we sold into that as a church. So each one of those 500 some odd people, we had something to do with that. Our seed went over there. And our prayers went over there because we were praying. Oh, we were praying. I don't know if everybody was praying, but we were praying. If I had time, I'd jump on that a little while. Anyway, how that by revelation he made known unto me. Made known to who?
Me.
To him. He couldn't bring it to the church yet. He had to get it first. He had to see it. He had to understand it. He had to study it. He had to research it. And he had to spend hours like apostles do trying to get it into his spirit. And he had to get the wisdom for him to bring it up. You see it? The mystery, as I wrote a full time in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mysteries of Christ. Now, here's the fifth verse now. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Now, we're about to get to the period of the point about the dispensation. You see, which in other ages, in other words, this wasn't heard of before. This was a hidden mystery. Money coming was a hidden mystery. Others tried to bring it out. But they didn't have enough insight, enough revelation to take it all the way through. Hope you understand what I'm saying. Apostles spend enough time with God, scratching the surface, digging down deep into the revelation of God's word to get an understanding of what God gave him in that supermarket about money coming. He said, money really going. That's what this man said. Yes. And he tried to repeat what the man said, and the Lord stopped him. He said, money coming. Yes. He didn't know what he had, he said. And he went about it regular way. But it was a revelation from God, spoken to his spirit, that was hidden. In ages past, the divine revelation that money cometh to the body of Christ. Now, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the pastors and teachers and evangelists. No. He talked about revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by his spirit. See, you see, God, that's God's divine way of doing things. He revealed to his prophets, his apostles, and his prophets. Why? Because they became carriers of his mysteries. He gave them insight into the supernatural. And that's another area that and I call this the dispensation that apostles bring into the dispensation of the supernatural. Everything he's preaching now is tied in with the supernatural. And I'm catching hold of that. And every time I read scripture now, know what I'm looking for? The supernatural. Because that's where God is trying to bring us. How I know? Because that's what we've been praying about these last few weeks. Everything is supernatural. Supernatural atmosphere. Oh, man. I got that in my note. Supernatural, and I thought about supernatural atmosphere. And sometimes we pray that we come here and pray the supernatural atmosphere according to Acts 2:1-4. But I find out that same atmosphere can be at my house. I never put it together. I say, I'm praying supernatural atmosphere here at this church when I can have supernatural atmosphere at my house. I can have it at home. Can you imagine your house have a supernatural atmosphere filled with the presence of Almighty God? And I don't care what tried to come in between you and that atmosphere, it got to lay down and bow down, because that atmosphere, the atmosphere destroy every yoke because of that anointing. How do you like to have your house filled with supernatural atmosphere? And so I start praying that for myself. Lord, thank you, my home has supernatural atmosphere. Yeah, then supernatural, I might not have them all in line, but supernatural faith. We pray Jude for that one, Jude 20. But ye beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So I find out that I can have supernatural faith. You see it? And so these things, I'm not going to go through all of them. You talk about the supernatural fruits. I like that one. Because if anybody needs supernatural fruits, you need it in your house. For some of them ugly way, well, you don't have no ugly way that we got. I'm going to make a word. Our unmeekness. That's such a word, unmeekness and untemperance. I go through all them unlove. We don't love all the time at home. No, we don't. No, we look good outside, but we don't have all the true love inside. No. You know, maybe because you spend so much time, you know, at home that you just take everything for granted sometimes. You know, that's a shame. Take your family for granted sometimes. You take your wife and your husband and your children for granted. And you just sometimes we need to learn to appreciate more. That supernatural love we talk about. In Luke. Jesus, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, all thy mind. And we don't like the latter part. The heck with my neighbor. And the neighbor that thyself. That's supernatural love. You pray that for your house. Pray that for your house. Get one of those prayer targets that we got in the back if you ain't got one yet. If you ain't made it to pray yet. Yeah. And pray that at your house. Yeah, it'll help you. So I'm learning. See, this, I didn't know all this before I started understanding the apostolic. We would just ordinarily just pray. Me, my four, and no more. But now I'm understanding what God is doing. And he's not only building the church, but building the church starts building your home. You can't build a home without... You can't build a church without your home being built. No, you build your house first. You build your family first. You build your husband and your wife up first. You build your children up first. Listen sometime. That's something I have to do. I have to learn to listen. You know, sometimes we don't take time to listen. Talking to each other in the house. Just listen. Sometimes we always got to do all the talking. And just listen. Sometimes when you listen, sometimes it helps people, because sometimes you need to talk. Yes. And sometimes we'll talk about everything except what's in each other's heart. What's in your heart you need to talk about? Yes. You find out that people sometimes are hurting. Yes. And God and put this all anointing on you, and you sharing it to the world, and you ain't sharing it at home yet. No. Minister to your family. I'm learning all that through this apostolic. Yeah. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Love your children. Yeah. Don't be afraid to correct them when they're wrong. Are you with me? Don't be afraid to correct them when they're wrong. Amen. Now, where are we? The sixth verse, he talked about the Gentiles. But I'm trying to find this other. Yeah, here it is. Here it is. Look at that sixth verse. Let's read the sixth verse. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promises in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. In the eighth verse there, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I'm going to keep reading. And to make all men see what the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things in Jesus Christ. So he's saying here that God knew the Gentiles were going to come in even at the beginning of his creation of this world. My God, that was in the mind of God. So all these things in the mind of God, if we don't know it yet, it's a mystery. But God has certain dispensation of time to release his mysteries from his divine mind to us at certain dispensation of time. I don't always understand his timing. We don't understand his timing. But God deals in dispensation. And so at this particular time, God sent the Gentiles into the kingdom. And I think about what God is doing with the apostle, how this is a dispensation of time that God is using to bring forth the revelation of money coming, not only money coming, health coming to the body of Christ that been hid from the foundation of the world and revealed unto this day, hidden ages past. Now, somebody said he's not the only one teaching on money or on health. No, but God gave him a supernatural revelation that the world don't even have, that the church world don't even understand yet. They're still fighting with their religious unbelief. We're not going to be ranked among those numbers. We're gonna give everything that God purposed for us through this divine revelation. And when he wants to sow, it's not for his sake. He tells us that. I don't know how many times he got to tell us that. It's for us. We need to sow. Sow our way out. We might not understand the whole revelation about it, but here's another scripture talking about his intent. God had always have an intent. Well, when the apostle says something, he has an intent for us to be able to go where we need to go. Suppose he keep all these mysteries to himself. My goodness, we'll be a sad sack of salt if we don't have the understanding that he has and that he poured out to us. I still was trying to find the scripture that talks about dispensation, but I'm not going to get stuck there. But there is dispensation that God has for us. Now let's move on to Ephesians 4. I'm sticking right here in Ephesians because in Ephesians 4. I'm about to show you something. I wrestled with this for a long time because I didn't quite understand this. Now follow with me. Now I'm gonna start the first verse of Ephesians 4. He told us sometime to read Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. He told us that. So I've been reading the whole chapter because I want to see what God is saying. I've been studying the whole full chapter of Ephesians. And not just that, I started going forward and looking at all the book of Ephesians because so much revelation in the book of Ephesians. You got two prayers in there, one in 17, and you got one in 3 and 14. And we've been praying those prayers pretty consistently, of those Ephesian prayers, because there's a lot of maturity in those prayers. And he kind of takes us somewhere with those prayers. So that 11th verse, we talk about the fivefold ministry gift, but let's start at that first verse and go along with me, because there's something I saw here. And it helped me, but I never quite understood it, because let me read, then you're going to see. He said, "I therefore, the prisoner," first verse, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Now, you take this from the third chapter. You can bring it in, because you're talking to the Gentiles that came into the kingdom. You know, they're called now, and he won't, but you let them know how you're supposed to walk with it, because these people serve other gods. That's why they were Gentiles. They didn't serve Christ. They served all these false gods. He brings them into the kingdom now. But he let them know that God walked worthy of the vocation. Second verse there, "with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now, that's a loaded scripture right here. See, I read over the scripture, and I didn't quite catch what the Spirit of God was saying to Apostle Paul. Now, to keep the unity of the faith. Now, the real word of unity is a unit. It's one, right? So keep the connection going on here. You got to stay connected. You're saying stay connected. Keep the unity. Keep the unity of the faith. If you don't stay connected, you're gonna faint. You're gonna lose heart about this walk with Christ, and you're not gonna take this revelation all the way to the end. See, a lot of them started in the faith, but it didn't end in the faith. Just like even today, some start out in Christ, but they fall along the way, because it didn't keep the unity of the faith, because there was the absence of the apostolic to keep the church in the unity, in the divine unit, oneness. You notice he's going to start talking about the word one over and over again. One, 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 one. One is the divine word. One body, one spirit. The unity of the faith. Then he starts talking about in the bond of peace. Now, let's move on, because I'm not going to park here. He said, "There's one body," see that one? "One spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. The one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." Now, here's why he kept saying one. The reason he kept saying one, because now the Gentiles are coming into the kingdom of God. He let them know, now they know the God, there's one God. And now the Gentiles and the Jews are coming together, and we're saying that there's no difference. We're one body. There's not a God for the Jews, and there's not a God for the Gentile. There's not a spirit for the Jews and one for the Gentile. And so one baptism, they don't do things one way, and we do things another way. We're one. So he was letting them know that has to be a unity in the faith, so nobody can pull you off and separate you after God that went through all this time giving you this revelation of the Gentiles coming in, and now you're going to let people separate you? Yeah. That's why he came on Peter so strong. Yeah. Because all this work, you're going to come and separate them. You're going to sit with the Jews one time, and then you're going to... He said, no, that's not the way this thing goes. You're breaking the unity of the faith. You saying certain things are good for the Jews, but not good for the Gentiles. One law, one faith. It took me a long time to understand that. But he was keeping them in oneness of the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ is what? It's one. He said, you ain't supposed to treat one Christian different from another Christian. James talked about this. You know how you're supposed to treat people. You know, you're going to, this man all dressed up, you're going to say, still the people, but this other one ain't dressed right. You're going to say, you sit over there. He said, no, it shouldn't be no division in the body of Christ like that. Everybody should be treated with the same love, same respect. And so the unity of the body of Christ was so important to the Apostle Paul. And because the revelation was so strong, he wasn't going to let anybody change the revelation.
Yes.
The revelation of money coming with apostles is so strong, he protected with everything he got. He's not going to let anybody come in and change the revelation. Talking about more money coming. No, he watches it. Because God gave him that revelation. And he knows the divine revelation from heaven. And you know, it's got to be accurately and spiritually discerned the right way. And if he sends any kind of somebody trying to distort it any kind of way, he'll stop it. He'll stop it because God gave him that divine revelation. And he knows how God wanted to be carried out. Apostle Paul. See, I reckon the scriptures. I reckon apostle ministry, the Apostle Paul ministry, how he protects revelation. And that's what apostles do. They protect revelation. Why? It can show us in the 11th, 12th verse how it keeps us lined up, but we don't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by protecting revelation. And you know, and apostles always keep us in the book of Acts, keep us aligned with what God is doing in the book of Acts. Thank God for apostles. I'm so thankful for this revelation that it helped me to know that we're protected. You don't know what that means to me. I don't have to worry about nobody trying to slip us the Mickey. Why do you think apostles don't let so many different ministers come through here? Because he's protecting his flock. And although that God had made him oversee, you know how many churches are under his apostolic ministry? And you have a call from God to protect those that God have put under him and submitted to him? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You don't know how valuable we are to him. You just don't know the love that God had put in the apostles' heart for us as a church. See, I can't preach about the office without preaching about the man. I can't separate it. I could preach something else, but it won't edify you because then I wouldn't be in alignment with what he's doing. We always got to stay in alignment with what he's doing. I got to talk about what he's talking about.
Right.
I got to study what he studies.
Yes.
You see it? Now, here's the other dispensation that he's putting us in. I'm not saying other churches haven't been doing it, but I'm talking about where he's called us to do. The witnessing app that we have. That is, how would I say that? That is not just something aside, a little side thing. You know, you'll go to a restaurant and you get an appetizer, you know, and then you pour your main meal. This is not the appetizer of Ephesians 4 and 12. This is the main meal. This witnessing program is the man meal. It's God's heart. It's God's love. And he watches over it.
Yes, yes.
My phone goes off all the time. And, you know, and I don't care what I'm doing. I stop in the middle of what I'm doing, and I answer that app. I don't just answer it haphazardly. No, I want to see who got saved here today. And I scroll up. Sometimes I got to scroll for a little while because sometimes I might have caught it late. I said, whoa. I said, thank you, Lord, for another soul in the kingdom. And one time, I was lying in bed about 10 o'clock at night. Then it went off again. I said, oh, shucks, I'm not answering that tonight. You know what the Lord say? Suppose I don't answer you when you call. I said, oh, my God, thank you, Lord. That's his first love. That's God's first love. And the church is going to have to get a hold of this witnessing app because that's God's first love and his apostles' first love. That was Ephesians 4 and 12 is all about. And I got to get to it before my time is up. But Ephesians 4 and 12 is the whole highlight of what this whole thing is all about. It holds first place in the apostle's heart. Getting souls saved. And I tell you what, he watches over it. I don't care what he's doing. He's going to stop. And you're going to see his name on that. And I like those messages he sends sometimes, you know, to exhort us and encourage us about witnessing and keep us on our toes. And it keeps us under government, you know, because when we answering, you know, we put glory. today, my phone messed it up today. And when I answer it, I type in glory. Then I got a little green button. Hit the green button, nothing happened. I hit it again, nothing happened. And I just kept hitting it. When I look up, it all suddenly went through. I had about 10 or 12 glories on the thing. I learned how to delete this stuff, but I said, oh, Lord. I said, I got to get some of this stuff off of here because we got protocol. I know what I'm saying. Glory, 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 glory. What's wrong with Ron here? All these glory. You know that's not how we roll. No, so I heard him delete. I delete all the glory, and I said, one glory good. But that protocol, it keep everybody in what? As a unit, unity. See, it's all about keeping us on one accord. Doing the same thing, saying the same thing as a team. You know, that might sound like small stuff to people, but God honored that kind of stuff. God honors that. All right? You don't, boy, we only knew what God thinks sometimes. Boy, he'll just blow you away, what God thinks. Now let's skip over a little bit to the 11th chapter, 11th verse of the 4th chapter of Ephesians. I'm almost through. The 11th verse says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Once I heard a man say, well, I don't believe God put that in any kind of specific order. You know, but I read 1 Corinthians 12, and it said first apostles, secondary prophets. And so I know God has a divine order in these things. And then there's so many other scriptures. You see, I began to study this. And I'm encouraging you to study these things out for yourself and see what God is saying. So when the apostle gets up here, you know he's representing God's agenda. And that's what I see. I see what God is looking for, what God's want, what God is after, what his next move is. You know, he showed what God's next move. You know that? He shows us what God's next move is. I read a book called First Love. This book come out of the book of Revelation. It talks about you have, you see, you left your Ephesian church, you left your first love. You know, I always had this thing in my mind, but you lost your first love. And then the guy said, no, you never lost your first love. He said, you left it. If you lost something, you don't know where it is. He said, you left your first love. Go back and find out where you left it at. Because sometimes there are certain things that you would do, and you just quit doing it. You quit doing it. They got some people who used to do a lot of good things, like Woodson, but somewhere down the line, they got too spiritual for it. And somewhere down the line, they got their feeling mixed up in witnessing. What you mean? And somewhere down the line, they allow fear to come in and intimidation about walking up to someone and asking them, are you born again? No. That's not even a hard thing to do. I died to me. Yeah. I said, I don't care what people think.
Right.
Some people are afraid of rejection. Well, what did they tell me? No. Well, then the blood is upon them. The blood is upon them. I was riding behind a man one time. This was years ago. And he had a long, big black car. And looked like it just transformed into a hearse. And the Lord said, he's living dead. He said, tell him about Jesus. Well, I procrastinated like me and some other people do. Never got to him. That man died within that week. And I didn't have a chance to witness to him. And I felt that. I said, Lord, I'm going to let that happen to me again. If you prick my heart to talk to anybody, give me the boldness, that's what you got to have. And the confidence to put all my feelings, all my emotions down. Don't care what people think, what people feel, and ask God for the wisdom.
Yes.
I said, Lord, who you want me to witness today? I hear Paul say that. And when I get up in the morning, I'm asking God, who you want me to witness today? And it looks like when you get around people, a radar go off. I mean, you got some witnesses to know what I'm talking about. A radar go off. And I call Walmart my saving place. Because I get a lot of people saving Walmart. And so one man I witnessed to, I said, you born again? And I began telling him about Jesus. The man dropped down on his knees, lift his hands up, said, I'm ready to pray. I didn't know what to do this. Because I didn't know had nobody to get on their knees in the store. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. And he got born again right in the middle of Walmart. One man in Home Depot, not long ago. I mean, I got stories. Sometimes you don't hear all these stories. People will love to type in all their stories, but you ain't got enough time to type in all them stories. I know you want to, how you got them saved. But I'm in Home Depot, and so I passed by this man, And I asked him, he was by the same place I was. We were trying to get some exchanges done. And I asked him, you born again? He began to tell me what he was going through. And I prayed a prayer with him. He started crying, man, you just saved my life. I said, yeah. He said, yeah, Jesus did. Give me your phone number. I said, I can't give you all my information, man, but I can give you Jesus. And I got him born again. And the man didn't want to let me go because he knew I had did something to help turn his life around. And you don't know what you're doing to people's lives when you witness to them and ask them if they're born again. You don't know what they're dealing with in their lives. And so I witnessed in Walmart so much I get repeats now. Say, what you mean repeat? The woman said, you just prayed with me last week. I said, all right. I'm at the register in Walmart. And the lady said, the lady behind the register, I got her born again. And another lady was in line. And I said, ma'am. She said, he gonna tell you about Jesus. I said, yeah, I'm gonna tell you about Jesus. Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. People don't, they might not admit it. But sometimes there's a certain shame. Are you ashamed of the gospel? That's why you don't tell people about Jesus sometimes? It changed your image, what it does. You don't know why people don't have the boldness. You just got to lose yourself. Jesus got to be bold enough and love Jesus enough to just go out on the limb for him. Oh, I love you, Jesus. He said, talk to him. He said, oh, see, I'm kind of bashful. I have problem meeting. No, tell people about Jesus. You know, I tell you what, your reward in heaven will never stop. There's a crown for witnessing. The Bible talks about it. So what am I doing? I'm showing you what the apostles' agenda is in these days, because we're in the dispensation of the time that God wanting to do things in our lives here, we're like Christians, all those that connected with us to take us to another level and to enrich our lives at the same time. Well, my time is up. I can't go no further, but I hope I see just one thing that encourage you, help us, remind us, refresh us, and give us some insight on what this whole thing is about. It's not about you, and not about me, it's about what God wants. Amen.
Amen?
Amen. All right. Amen. Father, we thank you so much.